back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano.
A special Big Ten Media Week edition
on 750 The Game.
Broadcasting today at 2024 Big Ten Football Media Days. Our next guest, previously the athletic director at Washington State, he is now the AD at the University of Washington. A lot of perspective on the Pac-12, Big Ten, transition, change, the ecosystem. Pat Chun joining us. Pat, how you doing?
Good. Interesting seeing you here.
I know.
I know. I've seen you in Vegas. I've seen you in L.A. And I guess the journey for us continues here in Indianapolis.
It does.
Yeah. On a brand new turf field.
They
said cork and coconut is the base of this.
Oh, wow. No wonder it smells so good.
It's the latest and greatest.
Yeah. There you go. So how are things? Washington, you got your feet on the ground?
Yeah, it's been really good. The family moved about. Pullman schools ended middle of June. So the family moved a week later. So it's been. It's been nice because we've made lifelong friends from Washington State that live in Seattle. So for the family, it's been pretty seamless as a move because it's a drive across the state. So and the staff, I mean, I reminded the staff if this has been labeled a tumultuous year, and you win the Pac-12 in football and make it to the national championship game, you win back-to-back men's track and field championships, you win a national championship in rowing. We have record academics, record fundraising. I said, like 99% of the schools will take that. We just had turnover in three significant positions, two basketball coaches, two football coaches, and three ADs. But, I take over an athletic department, and I've been very direct about this is, the Jen Cohen's fingerprints will always be on the athletic department. I'm appreciative of Troy Dannon because he introduced change. And by the time I get there 6 months after Troy started, it's like everyone there is, hey, we're moving forward. Let's figure out how to grow together. And, let's keep Washington at the, at the top of college athletics.
You've been in the Big Ten at Ohio State, now coming back. I covered this conference in 98, 99. It was 11 schools. Yeah. Penn State was the newcomer.
Yeah.
How has it changed in your mind and how weird does it feel walking in, seeing Pac-12 logos?
Well, it's just a reminder. The Big Ten has been a leader in college athletics, and it starts with Jim Delaney. It starts with the Big Ten Network and how it was structured, and how the Big Ten, as population has shifted out of the Midwest, the Big Ten has still been able to grow. And now it's a true coast-to-coast national conference. So being in here has been Washington has always prided itself on being at the highest levels of college athletics. We were there for the longest time. Heck, we got to the mountaintop in college football this last year, and lost to the national champions. But we're in a league now that is clearly in the new world of college athletics, and where we're at in 2024 and beyond. You got to be in the Big Ten or you got to be in the SEC, and we're grateful and fortunate to be in this league.
You've worked with high profile coaches, Mike Leach, and you made a great transitioned into Jake Dickert at Washington State. Now you got Jed Fish. What's Jed been like?
Perfect guy, perfect time. For a guy who's really, he's got a track record. For all of us who've been in the Pac-12, we all saw the state of the Arizona program when he took over, and at a basketball school, to get to 10 wins in that short of a time is nothing short of impressive. And now we're in this 2024 environment where to have such a he's not externally focused. He's just naturally an external guy.
Yeah.
He likes talking to people. He likes meeting people. He likes connecting people with the program. He wants, he wants leaders and innovators in around his young people. So it's like I tell everyone, it's like with a guy that's so relationship driven, he would not be in. Like, he'll be the first to admit if it wasn't for his track record and people he worked for, he wouldn't be in this position. I'd also throw in there, he's got great football acumen and he clearly knows how to build a program. It's been, I believe we're a look back, and it's like perfect guy, perfect time for the University of Washington.
And he's bringing some stars around the program. Belichick and Pete Carroll around.
I'd been to two practices, and Pete Carroll, they've already been out to both. And my comment to Jed was, you clearly don't mind being the second most accomplished head coach on your own field. And he laughed. He's like, nope. He's like, well, it's an opportunity for me to learn. So,
when I first met Jed, he had that
time where he went to work for Belichick, and I called it a hiatus.
Yeah.
And he's like, I wouldn't call working for Bill Belichick a hiatus. So.
It was fun hearing some of the stories, like, just you know, and he's been shaped by some of the best. But like I said, the nice thing for Jed, though, is he's got a body of work, and we all watched it happen at Arizona, which we all know it's not an easy place to win at football because basketball is a priority there. And, you know, he built what we believe is a sustainable model, but I think we're going to see it be sustained on Montlake, not in Tucson.
The college football playoff is expanding. How do you think that's going to go?
It's needed change. I think it consolidated football too much to a handful of schools. You know, you'll have to fact check me on it, but you know, we take great pride. There's you know, I when I talk to recruits, I tell them, hey, there's essentially 135 FBS programs. You have less than a 3% chance as any school in the country in real math to make the playoffs, but really only about 25 schools have a chance to make the playoffs. But there's only 8 that went to multiple times. Mm. And I said, it's Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Washington.
Mm.
So when you look at, and there, that was not, you know, and for us, that's 2 different coaches. That's peaks and a valley to get there. Mm-hmm. So it's, but we know that there's a route to get there. And we also know that in a deeper conference, because you know this is a biased take, but the cream of the football crop is that left the Pac-12 is headed to in the Big Ten now, and this is a league with historical powers in itself. So in a tougher league, a tougher regular season, you know, we're looking at you know, the expanded playoffs as we're in the right conference, and it's got to address that these conferences are just deeper now.
Pat Chun with us, Washington Athletic Director. You obviously are familiar with the Pac-12 schools, the Pac-2, Washington State, Oregon State. I want to talk about them collectively here. You know, what do you make of their predicament and how tricky is their path out of this?
To me, it has always been, and now I've not talked to anyone directly since I've left just because too much is going on, so this is probably me just us spitballing and me with just a lot of love and care for both schools.
Yeah.
Washington State, obviously, you know, was you know, 6 years of my life that I'll always be thankful and grateful for. But I would say it's just time is their ally now. But they're all conscientious that there will be a time where time becomes kind of the where anxiety is going to come into play. There's so, if you're not, like, everything outside of the Big Ten and the SEC is shuffling, and it's just a part of college athletics. Both schools know that they are 2 essentially free agents out there that have TV value. There's numbers that back that up. They're two schools that have had you know, periods of success in which a casual fan will turn on both TV sets. That is what is driving realignment today. It's just a lot of schools are trying to get to this Power Four. Both those schools are Power Four schools, and that's mm-hmm. someone who was a Coug for 6 years would tell you that. It's just, you know, is there going to be enough movement to open a spot for them, or do they need to figure out, is there another measure with other schools that still have TV value? In the group of 5, there's only a handful of them that have actual TV value. You know, Washington State and Oregon State are both conscientious of who those schools are, and that's what's going to, that's, you know, we're in this league because of TV yeah. value. You know, the 4 schools that left bring population, bring eyeballs, bring ratings, and that's what drove this move, and that's what's going to continue to drive whatever realignment decisions are.
I've been banging the drum for those 2 schools to really invest in branding. It's one of the things you can try to control.
Yeah,
you got to win games.
Yeah,
you know, you can't control your market size, but am I being realistic to say that you can throw a bunch of money at branding and improve your standing a little bit or amplify where you are? Or
I bias take here. I think the CW thing is the most helpful thing they did. Because all the schools that leave are in the Pac-12, it's, you know, 15% of the households have the Pac-12 network. It's untenable.
Yeah.
Now they're in 90, the CW's in 95% of the homes, and I think that's because they just don't want to say they're in 100% of the homes.
Right.
So it's I will just say the platform now exists for both schools to to really be intentional about branding. I would assume both schools are conscientious that their platform is bigger. There's going to be a unique set of eyeballs. I think there's always going to be curiosity about how these two schools are navigating. But I agree with you 100%. If they were still on the Pac-12 network, it's kind of like, and not to be too crass, but it's like if a tree falls and no one hears it,
right,
doesn't matter. But they're going to be in a position that if something newsworthy happens about those schools, if something gets someone, you know, if there's some branding thing that happens, you know, that gets people thinking about it, and you're flipping and like, oh gosh, I can watch the Beavs or the Cougs today, they're going to, TV sets are going to stay on.
How important is winning this year for
them? I think important for both, but yeah, it's always been important for both schools. It's just, you know, another biased take, but I think Jake has meticulously built that program. You know, he's learned a lot from being in that chair. I think he's an exceptional person, but an exceptional coach, and you know, there's a lot of bias in Pullman for Coach Bray because he's a Pullman High graduate. But he takes over. You know, they are a team that, you know, they have an identity at Oregon State that he is obviously helped build, and they're going to carry that identity on.
I think you were the right hire at Washington, because I'm looking at new basketball coach, new football coach. You've seen some stuff.
Yeah.
Like you've been through some things. How do you make that transition smoother, or, you know, or is it just time?
It's time, because you got to, like, you know, we have big goals at Washington. I'm a believer that to accomplish big things takes a lot of relationships.
Yeah.
You got to build trust. So it's almost to the benefit. You know, my first, you know, the day they announced me, we actually had a scheduled all staff meeting at UW, and I actually asked, like, hey, I'd like to talk to the staff before the press conference, and they said, well, we got an all staff meeting scheduled. I said, perfect time. But it was also the first time Jed and his staff got to meet the athletic department. It was the first time Danny, he didn't have a staff put together yet, got to meet the athletic department. So at least I think there's benefit for all of us starting at the same time, because it just happened so fast that it's not like they had deep relationships with Troy.
Yeah.
Troy had hired them, but it's like it's not like Kalen had a deep relationship with Jen. You know, it takes years to build that up. So all of us starting from square one, I think, has been helpful.
Pat Chun with us, University of Washington Athletic Director here at Big Ten Football Media Days. Jonathan Smith leaves Oregon State. You leave Washington State. Kalen DeBoer leaves Washington. Brett Brennan leaves San Jose State. This is business, right? And I think some people have a hard time understanding. They take it. Fans take it personally sometimes. Yeah. Help fans understand. Not even your specific case, but just in general, the business of things. And you were at Ohio State. You know, I've worked at six newspapers.
Yeah.
I know what it is to leave, but, you know, my readers weren't crying when I left.
Yeah.
So, you know, give me an idea of how you view the kind of the business of things.
So let me start here. You wouldn't be Washington State or Oregon State if you weren't passionate. You know, Beavs and Cougs are very passionate about the universities and have a lot of pride. So you understand where the frustration and the anger comes in when change happens. There's also a reality is there's, you know, our industry, there isn't permanence anymore. You know, I don't have the opportunity to dictate how long I can be the AD somewhere. A president does that. And, you know, I worked for a boss, Kirk Schultz, who was, I was fortunate to work for such an exceptional person and leader for so many years. Part of what made him a great leader was he was very transparent about his retirement timeline. You know, that allows me and my wife to have some discussions about, well, what's our timeline? Because the AD is tied to the president, the head football coach is tied to the AD, the assistant
right.
coaches are tied to the head coach. So there's a chain reaction of things that happen. So that to me is the bit when you say business of college sports, it's not cold-hearted, like we're making decisions just to chase personal goals and dreams. It's there's realities with the business of college sports that presidents, ADs are tied into each other. Presidents, ADs are tied into who the head coaches are. You know, you look at Washington, there's, you know, Jen had hired, you know, a majority of the staff. It's, you know, you have coaches that won Pac-12 championships and national championships that are in my office worried, you know, are you going to like me, Pat? It's are you going to like me is
right.
the bigger question.
Right,
I was like,
right.
you've done a lot more here than probably I'll ever do. So it's like, it's just the oddity of it's the oddity of sports that's where the business is there's so much churn in the presidential seat. I think the average tenure, I mean, look how many presidents Oregon State, like, you know, Anamari's been there 9-10 years. Kirk, I think, has been there 8. Like, I don't know. Like, it'll be interesting to see who their successors are, because that'd be like great if a president can go through a couple, you know, two cycles, like two four-year cycles. But those are rare in higher ed now, and that is the biggest business change, is the churn of presidents impacts the churn of athletic directors, and that also impacts coaches.
All right, that domino, that's phenomenal to think of it that way. Even Lincoln Riley yesterday made the comment, you know, the AD who hired him at USC is no longer there.
Yep.
And I'm looking over at Jen, and I think she's phenomenal at USC. She was the right hire. But you're right. Like, at some point, she may go, hey, you know, I want my person here.
Yeah.
And so you don't really know. Pat, I appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, it's good to see you
in Indy. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll see you. We'll see you this season.
Yeah, you'll be
big
games. We'll see you in Seattle.
Yeah. Yes, okay. I will be there. And by the way, that rivalry game, ticket sales for that thing. How do we boost that? Or do you think that just naturally, as the game approaches, you know,
my hope is as the game approaches, it you know, the Seahawks have a lot of data. So the Cougs have traditionally performed well in when they used to do a non-conference game there. So my hope is as we get closer to the game, you know, I think there was a lot of hope that you could turn it into something, you know, a true neutral site game. And if that's not the case, if the market doesn't bear, we'll find that out. But, you know, there will be an uptick. I think, you know, college football, like, people really starting to talk about college football happens these weeks.
Yeah.
And like, now it becomes like this all consuming sport now. And you'll be talking about an air more than you won't be.
Yeah. And I think, for Washington State fans in particular, like, I've been saying that it's very important that they show up. I mean, a show of force for Oregon State and Washington State right now to show up to games, tune in on the CW, drive ratings.
Yep.
And, you know, I think the Washington fans will be engaged no matter what.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. Like, being accessible now nationally on that CW, I know that both schools are conscientious that students and fans have to show up.
Yep.
Because that's part of their brands. They have, both schools have a loyal fan base, and if there's ever a year where they need to show and flex and make those drives of Corvallis and Pullman, these are those years.
Pat Chen, thank you.
Okay.
So much more ahead on today's show. I'm at 2024 Big Ten Football Media Days in Indianapolis. Leave it here.